and beginning at verse number 12, just one verse. Verse number 12. The Word of God says, "And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you." And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one to another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. Brother Mike Somoza, would you ask the blessing on the message, please? Amen. Thank you. So last week we were looking at this subject. We began in Hebrews chapter 6 and we went a few other places in the scriptures, and we're trying to establish this thought or this principle that Hebrews chapter 6 was conveying along with Ephesians, that Hebrews says God was not unrighteous. God is not unrighteous to forget our work and labor of love shown toward His name, and that was by ministering to the saints. That God would not forget those works that those believers have done, and those believers, their love that they've shown towards each other by ministering to the saints, helping the saints, assisting the saints, and everything they've done in that regard was done towards the name of the Lord, and the Lord would not forget that. And Ephesians, and we won't read the verse verbatim, but Ephesians, Paul wrote that church there, and he wrote those believers, and he said something along the lines that he was thankful for their faith in Christ Jesus, but not only their faith, he was thankful that their faith was in Christ, but their love was unto all the saints. Their faith was in Christ, and I said last week that's a commendable thing. It's a commendable thing that Paul could not only praise that church because of their faith, but also he can praise that church because of their love towards each other. And Hebrews conveys the same message, that these individuals within these local congregations, not only did they have the right faith, they had their faith in the right thing, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know what the Bible says a lot about faith, and without faith it's impossible to please God. But Paul says, listen, I continue to pray for you. Why? Because I can see something among you believers. I can see something that's evident. And what was evident was their love for one another. And Jesus Christ, and we won't go back over it, but Jesus Christ wrote over there in the Gospel of John, he says that men will know that you are my disciples. How? That ye loved one another. Not how good they preach, not how many people they heal, not how many times they cast out devils or they raise the dead or they heal the sick or they perform these miracles. They would be known as disciples of Jesus Christ because of one thing, and that was their love for one another. I mean, what a great testimony that this church in Ephesus had, that their love was unto what? All the saints. It wasn't preferential. It wasn't the saints that they got along with. It wasn't the saints that just agreed with them. It was all the saints. And Paul said, because of that, I praise you. He says, I thank God for you. I cease not to make mention of you in my prayers. Shouldn't we desire the same thing that Paul desired in those saints? Shouldn't that be expected of us, to love one another? I mean, naturally, it flows. The Bible says we know we've passed from death unto life. Why? Death unto life, because we what? Love the brethren. So there's some understanding that you and I should love each other. But that's not just, I said last week, that's not just verbally expressing that you love someone. Their love towards each other in those churches was visible. It was evident. It was on display. Now, saying you love someone or saying you love individuals and showing that love is two different things, right? My wife's smiling because she needs to know more than I just love her, right? She needs to be seen. It needs to be shown. It needs to be evident that I love her. And these Christians here in these churches, their love for each other was evident. Their love for each other was on display, and that's prayer worthy. That's praiseworthy that Paul would identify that. But I want you to see something here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 that we just read, verse 12. It goes a little bit further than our love for each other. Now, we should love each other, no mistaking about it. But look what he says in verse number 12 of 1 Thessalonians, and he says, "The Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another." The first thing Paul says to them there, he says, I'm thankful, in other words, that you love each other, but it's not enough. He said it should increase. This love that you and I have for each other, it shouldn't just reach this plateau. Paul says, I thank God that you love one another, but this love should increase, it should abound, it should flourish, it should be cultivated where our love for each other, your love for me and my love for you and our love for one another doesn't just reach this area where it's just stopped. It should be increasing. It should be abounding. It should go further than what it is. It should progress. He was thankful that they loved each other, and he was glad for that, but he says that it should increase. But look what else he says. And toward all men. And toward all men. Even as we do toward you. I believe that you and I should love each other without a doubt. There's no disputing the fact that the Bible is very clear that we should have love one for another. But listen, our love doesn't stop in this church. Our love for one another needs to extend beyond the walls of the church. It needs to extend beyond our own families. It needs to extend beyond the individuals of Heritage Bible Church. Our love should be displayed for all men. Do you know who that includes? That includes the lost. That includes the unbeliever. That includes the atheist. That includes the agnostic. That includes the Muslim. That includes the Hindu. Listen, our love is not limited or should not be limited to you and I. He said your love should increase, but that love should also be extended to all men. You know what that word all means in the Greek? It means all. You don't need the Greek. It means all. There's no exceptions. There's no exclusions. There's no prerequisites that they have to check off. You and I should be identified by loving one another, but not only loving one another, loving all men. Who did Christ show his love for on the cross? All men. 1 Timothy says that God will have what? All men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. All men, it doesn't stop with you and I. Now I ask you this. Now we think about that word love is used very loosely. It's redefined. But your love and my love for unbelievers isn't an affirmation of their lifestyle. That doesn't mean that we justify their sins or condone what they do. That doesn't mean if we show love towards individuals who are lost, who are outside of Jesus Christ, that doesn't mean that we affirm the way they're living. That doesn't mean we accept the way they're living. Our love is responsible for, guess what? Giving them the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving them the truth of the Scriptures. Our love does not cost us or call us to compromise truth. Amen? Now we live in a society, if you tell someone you disagree with them, or you tell them the Bible says this, or the Scriptures say this, then you're called unloving and hateful and narrow-minded and a bigot. Well, real love will tell someone the truth no matter how they receive it. We have to show love to not only the saints, we have to show love to those who are sinners, those who are lost. But we don't have to compromise. We don't have to water down the gospel. We don't have to water down the truth. We don't have to tiptoe through the tithers. Listen, we need to show them that we love them without compromising, but our love should be toward all men. Go to Galatians chapter 6. He said, I would that you would abound and that your love would abound unto all men, not just those in the church, not just those who are saved, but towards all men. Galatians chapter 6, one passage here this morning in Galatians. And if you're familiar with the Bible has many commands or expectations that God, I would say, lays upon the believer that how we should treat one another, without a doubt. But not only that, how do we treat the lost? How do we show love to the lost? How do we reach the lost and those who are unbelievers? What does God expect of us? Galatians chapter 6, one verse, and you're going to see some similar terminology here. Galatians chapter 6, one verse, look at verse 10. Galatians chapter 6, verse 10 says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good, notice, unto all men. All men. Look what it says. Especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Paul just wrote the Thessalonians and he said, listen, that your love is commendable, your love is admirable, but your love should not stop, your love should not cease, your love should not plateau, it should grow, it should flourish, it should abound, but your love should not just be directed towards one another. Your love, your care, your concern should be towards who? All men. And now over here in Galatians, verse 10 in chapter 6, Paul writing to those churches of Galatia, he says there, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. I want to look at a few things regarding this passage this morning, but before we get to verse 10, if you look at verses 1 through 9, you see that Paul is addressing Christians and how they handle certain situations and how they handle certain circumstances within the Christian life. And we won't go through all of those passages, but look at verse number 1 in chapter 6. He says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. There's only two times I find in the New Testament where the Bible addresses a spiritual man. 1 Corinthians says, he that is spiritual, what? Judgeth all things. Galatians 6, 1 says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Now, I don't believe this is sin. I don't believe this is iniquity. I believe this is a character flaw. I believe there's a difference between faults and sins. But the principle is, Paul is telling these believers, if they're spiritual, they must address this situation, this ministry of reconciliation, but they need to have the right spirit with them. He said, a spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. In verse 2, he says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. We all have burdens, would you agree? We're told to bear one another's burdens. How are we doing? I've got some financial burdens. Does anybody want to bear them? I'm joking, but I'm serious. We all have burdens. We have financial burdens. We have health burdens. We have all sorts of burdens. And Paul says that we ought to bear them, and that fulfills the law of Christ. What is that? To love thy neighbor as thyself. A spiritual man bears other burdens. He's caring, he's compassionate, he's concerned about others and not just himself. That's the mark of a spiritual man. In verse number 7, he says, God is not mocked. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man doeth, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So there's two ways that you and I can sow. It's either to the flesh or it's to the Spirit. And there's always going to be reaping after you sow. It's not only for the good, it's also for the bad. It's not only also for the bad, it's also for the good. It's the law of sowing and reaping. And Paul says there, he gets to number 9, he says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." But I want to look at verse 10 after he gives some explanations on how individuals should conduct themselves in certain situations, how we should restore individuals who have been overtaken by a fault. In verse number 10, he says, "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith." I'll look at doing good here in a few moments, and then we'll look at the individuals that who we should do good unto. But first, I want to look at this idea of, as we therefore have opportunity. How many times have you used the word or heard the word opportunity? I hear it a lot. I believe we use that word a lot, opportunity or a chance. You'd probably agree that life is full of opportunities. Life is full of opportunities. Every month, every year, every week, every day, you and I have opportunities that are presented to us. Would you agree? You had the opportunity to come to church this morning. You chose to come to church. Those who didn't come to church, unless there's unforeseen circumstances or emergencies, they had the opportunity as well, but they chose not to. What about this week? Just think about this week. How many opportunities you had? How many opportunities this week did you have to read your Bible? You probably had the same opportunities that I had. Maybe not the same amount of time, maybe not at the same time to read your Bible, but all this week you had a time to open the Word of God and to search the Scriptures. Did you take advantage of that opportunity? All this week, you know what you had the opportunity to do? You had the opportunity to call someone or text someone or send someone a card and encourage them and check on them. All week, this past week, you had an opportunity that you could have in the privacy of your home, in the privacy of your vehicle, you had the opportunity that you could have prayed for someone. How'd you do? Did you take advantage of that opportunity? I'd go a little bit further. This week you went to a gas station. Some of you went to a grocery store. Some of you went to work. You know what you had the opportunity at work and the gas station and the grocery store to do? You had the opportunity to be a witness to someone and give them a gospel tract. How'd you do? You ever heard the saying, missed opportunity? You can't get them back. You had the opportunity when you checked out, when you left that checkout line and you got the and you took the receipt, you had an opportunity to say, this easy. Can I give you something to read about the Lord Jesus Christ? Can I give you a little piece of truth? Can I tell you about the Lord Jesus Christ? Can I leave you something to read? Would you read this at your break? You've encountered people all this week, multiple times this week, that God has allowed you an opportunity to give them the truth, to pray for them, to encourage them, to help them, to care for them. Did you squander the opportunity? Did the opportunity pass you by? Did you not even look at the opportunities that are around you every week, every day, every month? And Paul says in Galatians, as we therefore have opportunity, let us do good. Listen, you and I have some of the same opportunities. We have some different opportunities, but we have some of the same opportunities. Listen, I understand they vary from person to person. I understand the dynamics in each of our lives is different, and I'm offered different opportunities than you, but there's a lot of similar opportunities that you and I have. What are we doing with them? Our opportunities are limited to sometimes our timing, our location, our situations. our resources. Would you agree that all affects the opportunities that you and I have, where we live, where we work, our resources, our abilities, our strength, our health, but we still have opportunity. Life is full of opportunities to do either do this or to do this. I got an opportunity, I can do this or I'm not going to do that. Some similar opportunities, I said, they go to church and read your Bible and pray. And how'd you take advantage of those? Listen, you are responsible for the opportunities in your life. You know what those opportunities involve? They're encapsulated in time, but they involve action. When the opportunity presents itself, when the opportunity arises and you see the responsibility, you know, the opportunity, the responsibility is on you and I to take action in that responsibility, or guess what? We missed an opportunity. Some opportunities never come back. You ever heard once in a lifetime opportunity? Once in a lifetime. It was a once in a lifetime opportunity and you missed it. You blew it. You looked past it. You let it go. You didn't seize the opportunity. Opportunities, I'll say this about opportunities. Opportunities utilize our resources. And we're going to see that in Proverbs chapter 3. Opportunities utilize our resources. Go to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Paul said, let us do good unto all men. All men, as we have opportunity. Especially those of the household of faith. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs 3, verse 27. Proverbs 3, verse 27. Notice, withhold not good from them to whom it is due. Who's good due to? Paul said, as we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men. Now, we'll see what that looks like later, but there are some ideas that you have from that passage that you can do to the saved first, especially those of the household of faith, and you have some ideas in your head that you can do for those who are lost, that the opportunity presents itself, that you can do good unto them, that you can help them, that you can show concern for them. But he says there in verse number 27, he says, withhold not good from them to whom it is due. Look, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. When you have the power and you have the ability to help someone, to bless someone, to do good for someone, you better do it while you have opportunity, because the opportunity might never come around again. The opportunity might not show up. The opportunity might not present itself. You need to look for opportunities. You're surrounded by them. But I'd say this, in the text in Galatians 6, it's not just an opportunity, it's an obligation that we do good unto all men. It seems like we're under this obligation to do good unto all men, especially those that believe. Listen, do it while the opportunity presents itself, because one day you might not have the resources to help someone. One day you might not have the strength, or you might not have the right mind, or you might not have the health, or you might not have the finances. You better be good, do good unto someone while the opportunity presents itself, because you might not have the same opportunity later. Verse 28 says, say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give. Notice, when thou hast it by thee. Can you imagine that? Somebody's in need of something, and you and I have the resources to help them, and we say, come back again. We say, come back tomorrow and I'll give it to you. What about the truth? What about the gospel? We've got the truth that day, and we say, I'll give them a track tomorrow. I'll witness to them tomorrow. I'll see them. They're working again tomorrow. I don't like to use illustrations about myself, but until I start getting some illustrations from you, I'll use myself. I remember one time I was working on a job at Chalmette High School. This is before I went in business for myself, doing plumbing work. And I was doing plumbing with a big contractor out of New Orleans, and it had some insulators that would insulate all the chill water and heating water pipes that we put in, the big welded pipes, and all our plumbing pipes. And there was a guy from Chalmette there, and there was two brothers, and I forgot his name. And I said, I'm going to witness to this guy tomorrow or Monday. I'm going to give him a track. I believe it was on a Friday. And I had the opportunity to Friday to witness to him on the job. Just give him a track. It could have been a small witness. It could have been short. And I didn't witness to him. Monday, I got to the job. And he died over the weekend. He died over the weekend. I said, Friday, I'm going to give him a track. I'm going to witness to him. I'm going to give him the gospel. Saturday, Sunday, I go to work Monday. He died. I lost the opportunity. He was going to be there Monday. We were working side by side for months. He was insulating the pipe. I got the track. He's going to be here. He's not going to quit. He's not getting laid off. And I come back Monday, and they said, you remember the insulator? Sure do. He died this weekend. And I still haven't let that down. Over 10, 11 years ago, you know what happened? I missed the opportunity. I didn't seize the opportunity. Do while the opportunity is present. While it presents itself. Strike while the iron is hot. Have you ever heard that? There's no time like the present. Yesterday is past. Today is here. And tomorrow is not guaranteed. I missed the opportunity to give this man the truth. Because I said, I'll do it later. And later came for me. I was there Monday. I was plumbing. But guess what? He didn't make it. And I lost the opportunity to give someone the gospel. He said, as we have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially those of the household of faith. I'm sorry to get emotional, but I'm really not, because it's emotional. When you knew you could have done something for someone, and the most important thing you can do for anyone is give them the truth of the gospel. When you could have helped someone and been a blessing to someone and comforted someone and prayed for someone and called someone and you waited and wasted, and that opportunity never comes back. And you know what happens? You live with regret. An old Arabian proverb said, four things come not back. The sped arrow, the spoken word, time passed, and the neglected opportunity. When that arrow's shot, there's no getting it back. It's gone. When that word is spoken and you say something, you can't catch those words and grab them. When that time goes, yesterday is in the past, it's not coming back. And when you miss and squander an opportunity, might never present itself again, and there could be detrimental consequences for the other individual who is to be on the receiving end of your opportunity. What did you do with it? What did you do with the opportunities that God has given you today, that God has given you this week? What are you going to do with the opportunities that you have tomorrow and tonight and this evening and this week? They're all around us. We have to look and be mindful of these opportunities. Paul said, let us do good unto all men. No exceptions, no exclusions. Especially those of the household of faith. Listen, Christian love and kindness and charity starts here. It should be cultivated within our ranks, in our church, amongst our members. But it doesn't stop here. It goes outside into the streets. It goes outside into the markets. It goes outside into the courthouse, in the hospitals, in the nursing homes, in your neighbors, in the gas stations, in the restaurant. Do good. Give them the truth. Give them the gospel. Give them the scriptures of Jesus Christ. I want to read one thing, and I'm done. It's called opportunity. A sculptor once showed a visitor his studio. It was full of gods. One was very curious. The face was concealed by being covered with hair, and there were wings to each foot. "What is its name?" asked the spectator. "Opportunity," was the reply. "Why is his face hidden?" He says, "Because men seldom know when he comes to them." "Why has he wings upon his feet?" "Because he is soon gone, and once gone, he cannot be overtaken." This sculpture in this museum, in this art exhibit, was a strange-looking creature. And he had face that was covered with hair and wings on his foot. And the reason was, is because his name was Opportunity. And men don't recognize opportunity when it's right in front of them. And when the opportunity leaves, the opportunity is gone. If you don't seize the opportunities that God has given you this day and yesterday's gone, and the opportunities that he's going to give you this week, those opportunities may never come back. Christian, your life is full of opportunities. Your life is full of choices and decisions that you make, whether to do this or to do that, or to go here, or to go there, or to say that, or to say this, or to sit, or to stand, or to move. You better be mindful of the opportunities that God has given you, because they're slipping. And one day, you are not going to have any more opportunities. You're not going to have any more chances, because your opportunities are gone. Your opportunities to pray for someone when you go to heaven are gone. Your opportunities to witness to someone and tell them about Christ and the gospel and to be a blessing to someone, you can't do that in heaven. You can only do this on this side of heaven. There's things that you can do now that when you are in the presence of God, you won't and can't do. What are you doing with the opportunities that God has given you? We all have them. We have great opportunities. We live in a free country, somewhat. We live in a country that's full of opportunities. We have a Christian life that's full of opportunities, full of chances, full of things, decisions that present themselves week in and week out. You missed them last week, and I'm done. What are you going to do with the opportunities today? What are you going to do with the opportunities Wednesday night and Tuesday morning and Thursday and Friday? You make the choice. Brother Eddie, would you close in prayer, please, and ask the Lord's blessing on the rest of the message? And I pray that the Lord spoke to you through his word, and that you would really consider what was said this morning and ask God to show you the opportunities that you failed to respond to, and that God would give you more opportunities to redeem the time, because the days are evil.